It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled. Scott Mitchell, Alex Keery. Thanks for being with us. Jazz fall tonight, going into the All-Star break. 131-123 in Philadelphia in overtime. Things of note from the game: Donovan Mitchell scored 33 before being ejected. Getting both technicals in overtime to be ejected. Not happy with the officiating. Jazz fans on Twitter also not happy with the officiating. Ben Anderson, our own Ben Anderson from KSLSports.com, actually just tweeted out, clearly officiating was much more significant issue inside the Jazz locker room behind the scenes than they had talked about before tonight. It just came to a boil because of Donovan Mitchell, Mike Conley, and Quinn Snyder having grievances. Quinn was very vocal about some of the bad calls during the game. Mike Conley was flabbergasted by some of the calls, and Donovan Mitchell was so upset about it. He got teed up twice tonight, Scott. And when he was thrown out of the game, he hit the water cooler so hard it hit into a security guard. He immediately had to go over and apologize so that it didn't turn into a Charles Barkley situation where he just throws stuff at people, spits on someone in the crowd, and then walks out of the arena. So
look, it's hard sometimes.
It was a mess.
Well, it's hard sometimes dealing with officials, Alex. It really is. And what's hard is the effort that you put in as a player to prepare yourself, the mental, physical grind of everything, and you're in this moment, this zone of just this highly competitive state of mind, and you have someone who, and because when you're in the game, you have a good sense of when there's a foul or when there's a penalty or whatever it might be. And so when you see it just blatantly, like, oh, you got to be kidding me. Seriously, again? Or this? Or how could you not see that? Or how did you miss that? And you feel like these officials are human, Alex. Like, they can say that they're not biased. They can say whatever they want, but there is a bias, and it's even been stated before, because it's like, well, the superstar rules. So that's a bias. So these officials aren't calling fouls.
Well, there's a moment where Joel Embiid, all the Jazz reacted immediately at the same time to a poor call, and Joel Embiid started pointing at the Jazz like, oh, they're complaining, and then he started saying, tee him up, and the ref looks at Embiid, looks at Donovan Mitchell, tees him up. And you go, why – why is Joel Embiid officiating here?
Clearly there's an influence there.
Can't stand this kind of stuff.
Right. And it's hard. It's hard when you're like, you feel that there's an injustice done. I mean, it's hard. And after a while, you've taken so much of it, and your emotions get the best of you. It happens to everyone. And what's hard is the officials ultimately and the league have all the power. And they just say you can't complain about the officials. And what does the official do if you complain? You look at them wrong, you get a technical foul. They'll kick you out of the game.
Yeah.
So it's hard to, you have to have the rules, but sometimes it's hard when you feel like they're not playing by the same set of rules or unbiased perspective that you are.
I saw an article, Scott, as we switch gears here in our 8:05 cut. ESPN wrote an article up about some of these coaches are on the hot seat. Now, as you've always rightly pointed out to us, every coach is always on the hot seat. If you're not doing a good job, you're gone. And one of the ones that every year it seems like we're having this conversation over the past few seasons here. And for the second season straight, the Utah Utes are going to finish below 500 in Pac-12 play. And they have had a real struggle of a season. It seems like every year they're about to get they're going to have that one person turn the corner. They've had a lot of people leave the program, and they've had a lot of problems inside the program. Larry Kuskoviak, of course, gets even more highly criticized because he is the 12th highest paid coach in the country, the second highest paid coach in the Pac-12 at $3.5 million a year, and the results are not bearing out. And this has become a conversation that we seem to have every time that we get to this part of the season here for the Utah basketball
Look,
team.
Look, if you're going into an organization, go, well, we're going to build this program. We're in building mode. And I've heard this over and over. You know, this is a building year, but wait till next year. And it's like, as a fan, you don't want to be a part of a building program, because guess what? You're always going to be building. You want a coach that comes in and says, hey, folks, batten down the hatches. Watch out, everyone. We're taking no prisoners. We're here to win championships, period. End of discussion. And if you're not comfortable with that, and if you're not comfortable with the process of doing that, then you need to just exit stage left immediately. And I find it so fascinating that people don't get this more. I just watched this special. It was a biography on the rivalry between Michigan and Ohio State. And what it wasn't the rivalry that really caught me. It was Woody Hayes. Woody Hayes came to Ohio State.
He's the old Ohio State coach.
And changed everything there, Alex. He changed everything. Before that, Ohio State wasn't anything. They weren't this great, you know, college football dynasty. They were nothing. And Woody Hayes changed the whole culture, really, of the state of Ohio that still permeates today. And he just and he had this attitude of, we're here to win championships. We're here to have a championship mindset in how we practice and how we think. And they weren't afraid of it. And I see so many times these coaches that are afraid of, like, we could have a great program here. And so it's one of my biggest pet peeves here in the state of Utah. And I feel like these
which is
these,
what? They don't have the high goals, you think?
No, I don't. I do not say that. And I think look, Kalani Sitake and Kyle Whittingham have done a great job. And they've built programs based upon their vision of how they should be. And they've gotten exactly what their vision is. Good, solid, tough football programs. But they, in their mind, they don't think we're going to compete on a national stage. We're going to compete for a national championship. They don't talk. They don't think that way. And as long as it's that way, it's nothing is going to change. Urban Meyer came here, and he changed. He took this program to a new level. And like or hate Urban Meyer, he understood the philosophy of Woody Hayes. And you take Pete Carroll when he went to USC. USC, and I've said this over and over again, they should win the Pac-12 conference every single year. And these coaches, they come in and they're like, you know, well, we got to take some time and we got this is hard, you know. And it's those coaches that always complain about whatever's happened. You know, the officiating or this or that or whatever, or, you know, we can't win cuz we can't recruit the players they get in these other conferences. And it's like, you'll get those players if your mindset is of a championship
caliber. Yeah, but you can't. But at the same time, BYU can't just say our goal is to win a national championship every year.
Why not?
Because that's not a possibility for BYU's independence.
It's exactly why it's
they could have won all 12 games this year, even if they would have beaten
Alex,
What was the name of Coastal Carolina this year? They would have still ended number 7 in the country, and that would have been it.
I don't know that that
would have
been
no
the case.
There's no way they would have been.
I don't know that that would have been the case.
Playoff. There's no way.
And as long as you have that mindset, that's the way it's going to be. I've said this.
But
yes,
that's going 12-0.
No,
all right, we'll come back. We got to take a break here. We'll come back. Sam Farnsworth from KSL5 Television is going to walk in, and we'll chat with him. Obviously, we're going to react to the Jazz overtime loss as they go into the All-Star break. 9 days off. I'm going to need it. Stay right here with us. More to go right here in KSL.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are. And this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.